is powerful. We know that.
Amen.
But it's also eternal. So as we look this morning, I know we all recognize that you're different from a lot of people. There are many people who do not yet know that God is a mighty good God. But this morning we can speak from this subject out of these scriptures, God of eternity.
Amen.
God of eternity.
Amen.
And three things we'll focus on coming from this set of scriptures: commitment to God. Secondly, commitment to God's word. And then commitment to eternity. Commitment to God, commitment to God's word, commitment to eternity. Thank you all. We may be seated. We have to remember that the word of God is certainly powerful. We understand that. But it's also, as the scripture tells us here, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. What's that dwelling place? Well, you know, we have homes and places where we stay and where we're comfortable, roof over our head. And this writer, and this is Moses, this is some of Moses. It's not David, it's not Aesop, it's Moses that's sharing this prayer. And he said, you've been our dwelling place, that place of comfort, that place where we view it as home, if you will. In other words, Moses has a strong commitment to God. He's not just ordinary. There are many people in the world who are even active in churches, would you say, but not fully committed, if that makes sense. Everybody does not have the same level of intensity when you talk about serving God, because they don't all view God in quite the same way. But if you are like Moses and you see God as your dwelling place, and he says in all generations, church, we've got to recognize that it's important to pass God down to future generations.
Amen.
We got to let the young people know there's something better than just the things they advertise on TV and the things that capture our attention sometimes. Because people will do those things that they like to do.
Amen.
I was downtown yesterday. I told a number of you about it. Had the art fair in Houston, downtown Houston, and they have thousands of people who come out for that. It stretched probably half a mile, and different vendors and things. And people from all countries seem to come in. Had people from Nigeria, had some singers from Brazil who are out there, as well as, of course, the U.S. But it's because they have come, that group has come to love this particular event. And because they love it, they support it.
That's right.
That's the way it needs to be with the church.
That's right.
That's the way it needs to be with God. Because we love him, we support him. And so the scriptures tell us that he is the God of all generations. He said, before the mountains were born. Now think about that. That's kind of a poetic expression. Before the mountains were born. How many of us think of mountains as being born? But that's the way God has this writer to express it, because we know it means to come forth. In other words, there once was a time when there were no mountains. But because of God and his creative ability, he's able to bring the mountains forth. And that's why it troubles me. Now, it's just me when I see them knocking the mountains down. You know, nowadays, there's equipment where you can just start grinding on a mountain, looking for treasures and looking for elements, if you will, and you can destroy that entire mountain. And it's in many ways, it's sad. I know that people who say, well, it's progress, you've got to do some of these things, but we didn't create the mountains. What makes us think we can destroy them and still be okay? But he said that, before the mountains were born, or thou did give birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. God is a God, not just of all generations, but he's a God of eternity.
Amen.
Eternity. Now think about that. Because, see, even 100 years is different from eternity. We would say 100 years is a long time, and we salute people who get to be 100 years old. That's a small group of people. But that's not eternity. Every person's going to spend eternity somewhere. They may not recognize it, but they're going to spend eternity somewhere. And so the choice that we have to make as believers, where do we want to spend eternity? Do we want to spend it with God? Or do we want to spend it in another place where there's no happiness, no joy, just thinking about the mistake that somebody made? No, God is a God to be worshipped because he's the God of eternity. Moses knew that as well as anybody. God allowed Moses to serve his people. He allowed Moses to know some things about God that the ordinary person wouldn't know. And so Moses held God close to the vest, if you will. But even Moses had his challenges, didn't he? Moses wasn't allowed to go into the promised land because of just some mistakes, some disobedience. Sometimes it can be that small thing that a person might not even think about. Because you know how we are as humans. We tend to make things small. You hear people talking about a white lie. Years ago, and I used to wonder about that. What's this white lie thing? In other words, they say it's not so bad. It's not, but if it's a lie, just think about it. If it's a lie, should we do it? No. Of course not. And so we cannot let people minimize what God wants from us.
Right.
Well, preacher, what is it that God wants for us? He wants more from us than just everyday worship. Some people can be very content to say, well, I come to church from time to time, and I'm happy with that commitment, and I think the church ought to be happy that I show up sometime. That's their mentality. But the reality is, because God is a God of eternity and a God who takes care of us, a God who made the mountains, who made the trees, who made the oceans, all those things, we ought to know that there's more to serving God than just coming to church.
Amen.
And that's why we have to be happy. When you are a person who feels like God is special in your life, you're in a unique category. You're in a category different from the average person in the world. Many people can just be content because they get a chance to participate in some of the worldly activities. Very happy with that. And there's nothing wrong with camaraderie away from church. We ought to have that. Because that's what represents that we love the Lord and that God wants us to know how to get along with one another. Amen?
Amen.
And so the scriptures go on to say, thou, and this is verse 3, thou hast turned man back into dust. Back into dust. We come from dust. We go back to dust. Because God is creative. God knows how to handle those things. And it can certainly be challenging sometimes when we think about loved ones and we think that we place them in the ground. But we come to understand that's not where the person is. We believe absent from the body. Help me somebody. Present with the Lord. Absent from the body. Present with the Lord. So where we ought to have some happiness is when they're saved.
Amen.
Because we know they go to a better place. Amen?
Amen?
And that's what God wants to share with us, the good news that he is eternal.
Yes, he is.
He's not just here for a day or a week or a month. He's always with us if we allow him to come into our life.
That's right.
Now turn man back into dust. And say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are like yesterday when it passes by. 1,000 years. The Bible records some people, some humans, who had an opportunity to live more than 1,000 years. I mean, just think about that. But that's not today. That's a different time, a different history, if you will. a different segment that God were taking humans through. But today, whatever time you have, value it.
Amen.
Whatever day God provides, we have to value that. Because none of us know when our time is coming. And we were saying this morning, everybody could travel the same path. Everybody has the same future, if you will, in terms of down here and one day being down here physically, it's going to be over.
Amen.
And that's when it's going to be important that we are saved. Because if we're saved, if we'll be in the bosom of God, we'll be able to walk the streets of gold. But only if we're saved. That's why we have to share the good news with people. Now, you may not think it's important to talk to people where you work about God, but it is. You may not think it's important when you're food market shopping, looking for groceries, to share the good news, inviting people to church and letting people know there's a better way than living the world's way. But it is important. And that's all God is trying to share with us here from this passage. Take what he provides and share that good news with people who do not know better. I noticed yesterday when the activities were going on right here at the church with the yard sale, there's also a function going on next door. Completely different function, but the community was having an event where they're promoting gardening and bringing the community together. And that's the difference I see between how the church functions versus how the community association functions. See, they have a group that's already united. Common cause, if you will. And because of that common cause, they're able to get people together under that banner, and whatever event they have, they automatically have participants.
Amen.
Now think about it. If the church is just able to mature and to grow and to be one that follows a model like that, and I believe that's what God wants from us, that the church comes so close together that anything the church is doing, every member of the church feels like this is our function. This is our event.
Amen.
It's not just for Joe or Mary because they put it together. This is our event because we love the Lord.
Amen.
And so we know what we strive for. But how do you get there? Just going to the Word. Going to the Word of God. Show people the good news and what God says. If we can think of God as being eternal.
Mm-hmm.
And not being for one day or one week or one month. Then we'll get into where God wants us to be. God is always by our side.
Amen.
Do we believe it?
Amen.
He's always in our midst.
Amen.
He never deserts us. He never lets us down. And so if we just try to do those things that are pleasing in God's sight,
yeah, all right.
I find, and I talk about this a lot because I've come to believe that God has different venues for us. God has different times where he exposes us to different things. And I've come to believe that just the doors God has opened for me these last 5, 7 years come with a purpose. And the purpose is not just to build a reputation. The purpose is not try to be the best singer in town. But I find God allows me to meet people from different places. And they come up and they'll come and start talking to you. And some of the people have started to come to church. And even if they don't come here, they say they start to go to church. And I feel like that's good news. Because I recognize my time is limited like anybody else.
Yes. Right.
Just because you're a preacher, deacon, missionary, usher, don't ever think that you have a different outcome from any other human. Humans all are going to have our physical existence come to an end.
Amen.
But you can't frown about it.
Right.
You can't worry about it.
Right.
Because you know what many people don't know. You know God is real.
Yeah.
And that's what Moses is saying here. Now, Moses was powerful. God pulled him aside and used him in a mighty way. We know that. We know his story.
Yes, he did.
But when Moses came to the end of his time, he, like every other human, had to recognize, no matter what I've done, no matter what my reputation is, I got to come to grips that God is the one in charge.
Yes. Amen.
God controls my life.
Yes.
And so this Psalm 90, these verses are just talking about that Moses has this prayer to God for the man of God. Everybody who accepts that God is your lifeline.
Yes.
God is your indicator that life is good. Then you got to always be available and accept this, that God might use you in an unusual way. Today, you and I don't know what that might be. You may be the world's greatest scientist or engineer. You may be the world's greatest chef. Who knows? But whatever it is, you and I have that opportunity to share with people the good news of God. I used to hear people talk about the church, and the church didn't do this, and the church didn't do that. And I thought about that for a long time until I matured and came to the point the church does what you allow the church to do.
Amen.
You and I are the church.
Amen.
How involved will we be
yeah.
in spreading that good news? Because people can spread news. Will somebody say amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know, after church ends today, somebody might be on the phone talking to Joe or Mary about X, Y, Z. But God wants us to share that good news. And so while we're here on this Sunday morning, think about how you and I'll think about how I can be better in that project that God wants us to be involved in. Pick up somebody. Help somebody turn their life around. Help somebody have some hope in the world where many are hopeless. And if we do that, I know that God would be pleased with the work that we are doing.
Amen.
And so these four verses just share much good news, as does the rest of the Bible. But keep that prayer of Moses in mind, that Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 through 4. And you may have some favorite verses that you read, that you keep near your heart, and they lift your spirits. That's what God wants from us. Because in the end, church, we've got a work to do. Nobody else is going to do your work. Your work is going to be different in terms of kingdom building. But it's all kingdom building.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find our spot of service, we do our best in what we do. Amen?
Amen.
And so we thank God. And of course, we always, always won't be long before we as people of the world will be celebrating what we call Easter, the good news of Jesus Christ, not just coming to earth in the flesh, but going through that cycle of
yes.
things that he wanted to do.
Yes, sir.
He taught because he wanted the people to know. But do you know, before Jesus taught, he sat with the doctors. He sat with the elders in the church listening. Now, somebody may say, well, Jesus knows everything, so he can't really grow. Not true, because Jesus was 100% God as well as, help me somebody, 100% man. And that being 100% man mean that he wanted to identify with us, with humans, to give us the confidence that we can trust him, that we can depend on him, that we can know he knows what we're thinking. And so as we think about that, Jesus decided long ago, before creation, it was pictured, it was prophesied, if you will, that he was going to go through that process of physically coming to the earth to redeem you and me. Redeem us from what, preacher? Redeem us from sin. Because we couldn't do it ourselves.
Amen.
Moses couldn't do it himself. He had limitations. But because we trust a holy God,
yes.
our slate can be wiped clean.
Amen.
And see, that's good news.
Amen.
I know I needed to have my slate wiped clean
yes.
so I could share that good news with other people. And once your slate is wiped clean, don't let anybody tell you that you're missing something. If you have God, you're not missing anything. God will give us what we need to do what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that Jesus came, that he went to the cross. Some look at the cross as a burden. as a hardship, as a bad thing that the Romans did to Jesus, but it had to be done because of what God had always planned. And so when you think of the cross, think of Jesus. Think of Jesus making the sacrifice. Think of Jesus recognizing that people needed to know that he's eternal, that he doesn't fade like other things might in the world. And then he went into the grave, but he didn't stay.
Amen.
He got up out of the grave.
Yes.
And that's what the Christian church recognizes all the time. If it wasn't for resurrection, there'd be no salvation.
Amen.
But because of resurrection,
yes,
we ought to have happiness in our life. Amen?
Amen.
The news will be spread all. We thank God for who he is. And we pray that the news will be spread all through the world. And once it's spread all through the world, then Jesus will come again.
Yes.
God bless you this morning. We're grateful that you are here. Hope you continue to come. And if you're not physically at the church, but you're watching from some other place, we want you to know that you are appreciated. We thank God that you take part in the worship service here. Whenever you can, you are welcome here. But right now, we just thank God for where you are and who you are. We open the doors of the church at this time.
Amen.
There might be somebody somewhere that needs to make a change in your life.
Amen.
Will you come?
Come to Jesus.
While you have time.
Why don't you come?
Jesus, make up your mind. He will make your life brand new. Lord, he'll take good care of you. Come to Jesus. Church, we thank the ushers and the sound room, the deacons and the ministers for all that you do building the kingdom of God. It's ours to offer, it's yours to accept. Jesus' arms are always, always open. May God bless your ears, our prayer. We turn the service back over to Reverend Brown for his closing remarks.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."